We're here with Alan Camp, architect based in Southwark and Union Street, and you're celebrating your 20th anniversary as a practice this year.
It was 20 years a few days ago. So
fantastic. And how would you, first of all, before we go on to talk about some of the projects you've been involved in, how do you kind of summarise the change that's happened while you've been in Southwark over the last 20 years?
We first moved into the borough 24 years ago, and we were accused of gentrification when we moved into the borough, the planning committee. I don't think I've heard that word since in the planning committee, but at that time there was a real sort of move to, I think, stop anything of private sector sort of moving in. My wife is a sculptor, famous sculptor, and I thought they would really welcome her coming in, and some members of the committee at that time, 24, 25 years ago, were very concerned that we were gentrifying the area. Luckily, there were some locals in the area from the local estate, the Browning estate, who saw it otherwise and saw what we were doing as being different. And I think that's the main change that I've sort of seen, is that the council, almost from that time, or certainly a few years later, started embracing regeneration, development, and actually saw Southwark not as being a little sort of protected, like Coin Street developments of little houses, and really being there as an exclusion to the rest of London. Sort of had this sort of sea change of looking upon Southwark as being south-central, as being Southwark being very, very important to the centre of London, and actually being a place where tourism and development could actually take place. And there was a sea change within the members at the time. As far as planning is concerned, I remember the first 5 or 6 years that I was here, everybody said that, you know, if you wanted to get anything through, you had to make it look like a Georgian or Victorian. And we were initially very contextual, very modernist sort of practice, who got some schemes through that our clients and some of the housing associations we started to work for thought would be impossible to get through, because they were sort of quite modernist. One was building at the end of a Victorian terrace by a listed terrace by Burgess Park, and we. Everybody in the plan committee laughed. You'll never get this planning approval through. It was glass and steel, and we did. And actually, the members embraced it. And in our own street, we built after we built our house and studios 24 years ago. We then built very cheaply, very low cost. It was £75,000 for a 3,000 square foot flat house. Or workshop and live work units. We then the rest of the street was built as a Georgian series of terrace houses, which look terrible now, and they were only built about 15 years ago, but there was nothing else Georgian in the area. And I spoke to the developer, they knocked a beautiful pub down, the Lord Camden, to build this sort of terrace. And the developer said that he'd been told that that was the only way to get planning through Southwark. Southwark now, I think, embraces very high quality design, and it's probably leading the way in London. But it's an enormous sea change.
That's not to say that all your schemes involve complete demolition and rebuild. A number of your schemes, you've worked quite hard to incorporate existing buildings.
Yeah, one of the first schemes we did was the leather exchange in Long Lane. Beautiful Victorian building, which was actually still working as a tannery. And they still had the pelts. The planner who came round with me, she was a vegetarian, and seeing all the skins and all the smell, we got planning very, very quickly. But that was a beautiful building, which we managed to keep most of the building and build that in. That was about 20 years ago. We then did the Pioneer Health Centre, which is a fabulous building, but it had been really ruined and was falling to pieces and had been destroyed, all the movement on the inside. And all the planning applications had come in, were amending it, taking out this beautiful swimming pool from the centre and building in front of it. We pretty well restored the building as it was, I think, pretty sympathetically, putting in residential but large units, and I think it was a success story because it went from a grade 2 to a grade 2 star listed building. You take every case on its merits and you look at each project. In Peckham, with the Peckham Society that we work quite closely with, we looked at keeping Pelican House on Peckham Road. And it was quite expensive to keep the facade. It was not good enough to list. Previous applications had gone before the council to knock it down, and thankfully the council refused those. But we won a competition, we kept the building, we paid for it by putting some more sort of flats on in order to pay for it. It was a social housing scheme. And I think it was a great success that we kept this facade on that. But having said that, we've done one scheme recently near our offices in just off Blackfriars Bridge Road, where there was a sort of late Victorian warehouse and a mid-50s warehouse on two adjacent sites. We looked at them initially to keep the building and to build on top, but it was not going to create very good living facilities, and the windows would have been right onto the street. There would be no protection from the street to the living areas, and we could actually create a very good, high quality housing. And fortunately, the committee agreed with us, and the officers agreed, and we've got planning permission. The buildings themselves were not very interesting, and even the Victorian Society said they were very plain. But there is no one solution. You have to look at everything on its merit, and we'd like to think that as architects we do look at everything as an individual case, and so there is not one one-off solution that you keep repeating. I think all our buildings do look different throughout the borough, and depending upon the context.
And you work quite closely. A lot of your clients are either public sector or providing public facilities, such as museums, etc. Is that something that you have chosen to do? Is it something you feel that you've got a passion for?
Well, I think it comes through the passion for Southwark. I don't think anybody who knows us can say we're not actually passionately involved in Southwark, having lived here for nearly 25 years. And a lot of the schemes that come to us are people who have owned land for a long time, and they're local landowners, and they come to us with a scheme, or their schools. We've done various schools where we built onto schools facilities by funding it with residential accommodation. And that's been very successful, providing very good quality school facilities where they have no funding. We did Zandra Rhodes' Museum of Fashion and Textiles. She had no funding from the government. She had a building in Bermondsey Street, and she came to us. And we put together a sort of scheme that could be funded by inserting flats into the development that basically paid for the scheme. And it worked, and the council worked with us because they wanted to see this facility built and the new museum, and we could do it if we paid for it by putting some flats. We've also we built a community hall 20 years ago beside my house, and that was funded through the people that I met on the planning. The planning meeting that we had on my house. People from the Browning Estates came, and they needed a community hall to replace a rat-infested porter cabins, and we funded it by getting local artists to buy a site beside our site, so that the council got a new facility, they got a revenue for the site, and local artists were kept in the area, and it was a community sort of building. We've just got one building that's about to be complete in at the end of this year, with the Dockland Settlement, which is a charity that's existed for over 100 years in Rotherhithe. And their facilities, which was facilities for children, and they've got a fabulous reputation and well known in Rotherhithe. All their facilities were falling. They had a Seaman's chapel that had broken its back and had dropped by over a metre, and nobody could go in there anymore, it was just too dangerous. And we worked with the local community, the Dockland Settlement, local councillors, the council, and Family Mosaic Housing Association to come up with what I think would be sort of state-of-the-art community hall and facilities, not just for children but for the whole community, with a five-a-side sports centre. But these halls, which will also incorporate the local scouts' huts and sea cadets' huts into this facility, provide social housing. Is providing mostly shared ownership, but housing that should be bought cheaply by local people in the area. So, yeah, I love these things, and I have a huge passion for it. But they take a long time. All these sort of schemes, we've just done another one for Southwark Park Road with a community hall there. Where it's an old working men's club, which has become very much a community facility with creches and facilities for the locals. And we funded it by putting 18 flats and duplexes on the top. That will shortly be completed as well. So these are great success stories, and I don't think Southwark Council maybe sort of played up enough that how good these are with local people working together, with housing associations and sometimes private sector funding the sort of schemes.
And your approach is not necessarily always to sit and wait for a knock on the door from a client asking you to do some work. You're going out there and creating your own work a lot of the time, aren't you?
Yeah, you have to. I'm old enough to remember four recessions. So when my practice got larger, there's about 30 odd of us now in the practice, and when we grew to about 10, we realised that we needed to go out there and get work and put schemes together. And there were quite a few schemes in Southwark, and with a community hall we built in Browning Street was a scheme that we were instrumental ourselves in doing. In Union Street and in Bankside, we've put flats on top of our offices that we've bought here in order to create. It creates stability for the practice through a recession. But when you're employing quite a few people, you have to be fairly creative about what you're doing, and you just can't keep waiting for clients to knock on the door. We have a good selection of private sector. About half our work is private sector, half of it is housing association. And very much with housing associations, we go out there and find them work as well, and very good at putting together sort of local sites and ones that we think have an opportunity with the right developer. So yes, you can't wait for schemes to come along. Nowadays, you have to go out and get them.
Absolutely. And do you think the council policy these days makes it easier for you to do some of that stuff in terms of their flexibility about use classes?
Generally, officers are approachable, even though sometimes that can take some time. But members are certainly very proactive and want to see things happen, and more so, I think, in Southwark than a lot of other boroughs.
And we're in the middle of, or hopefully coming towards the end of, although nobody knows, the end of a fairly deep recession. But in the midst of that, we've seen the Shard go up. We're seeing lots of sites that you're involved with being built out. Do you think Southwark in some way is protected because of its geographical position from some of that?
Yes, it is. I think being fortunate that we do a lot of work in Southwark, and it permeates from Southwark out towards Bexley and Wandsworth and, you know, what I call overseas, going across into Tower Hamlets and Newham and Westminster. But certainly Southwark, northern parts of Southwark being protected, Peckham and Camberwell less so, but I think Peckham and Camberwell are, to my mind, the exciting areas, and obviously the Elephant and Castle, where I've lived for 20 odd years. Some of the prices now of land, I think that's the problem, is that the prices of the cost of land in the northern part of the borough, the Banksides, the Bermondseys, is very, very expensive, and is really pricing housing associations out of it. But at the same time, housing associations are becoming different people. They're becoming far more proactive. They're becoming developers in order to create profits, in order to put those profits back into social housing, as there's no grants anymore. So everything's sort of changing. It's quite exciting times because things are changing so much. And I think the borough, is sort of changing as the marketplace is changing. There's going to be a lot of private sector rental units coming onto the market. There's a lot of affordable rented units coming onto the market, and it's good to see housing associations actually embracing this and actually saying, to my mind, that the housing associations are being backed up against a wall, and for the last 4 or 5 years they don't know where that wall is. Now they know where the wall is that they're backed up against, and they're being creative, and housing associations really are in a very good position to borrow money to develop and to compete with the private sector. Southwark is making land available at the moment, and that is very good. They've got a huge stock of land. I think that they own more than anybody else, than most other boroughs, the land bank, and they are releasing that at the moment. I hope the Elephant and Castle and some of the sites that we're looking at, there's going to be quite exciting sort of projects happening. But Southwark geographically is in a great location, but it's of their own making of 20, 24 years ago when we first moved into the borough, and there was that change of direction by the local authority that they've, and hopefully they're reaping the rewards today and will continue to do so. One of our most exciting schemes is the one in Quebec Way, in Rotherhithe. It's our biggest scheme in Southwark. Historically, we've always done very difficult sites in very difficult locations, and I think we've probably got quite a reputation for managing to get planning permission on difficult sites. With the Canada Water on Quebec Way beside the Russia Docks Woods, we've designed a building which is designed nearly 400 flats, which are beside the ecological parks, which are a very ecological design, and as far as it sort of creates lots of courtyards with allotments and community facilities. Reasonably high density, it's an urban density, but it's got a real suburban feel to it. It is not a formulaic scheme of building along the roads and creating courtyards. It's really creating courtyards which lead from the road towards the woods and create routes through the site, which makes it very permeable and I think a very exciting building. It's something that we're really looking forward to building. And our clients have been very excited. It was lucky we had clients who were more like boffins than developers, who wanted to work with the local community, and we're now working with a housing association on it who have come in as joint partners, London Quadrant, and we're very excited about what will be our largest building. But it was very much evolved working with the local community and the locals in the area, who I think everybody thought was quite formidable taking them on, but they really do want to see good development, and they will be pragmatic, and they're not going to be sort of NIMBYist about the project, but they just want to see, they want to be consulted, and they want to be involved in the project. And if you can do those two things, to be consulted and to genuinely get them involved, you can create a very good scheme out of that. And they are not anti-development at all. And also the local members and the officers, I think, sort of rally around this. And it's an excellent scheme. Hopefully it will be, along with the Rotherhithe settlement, the Dockland settlement scheme, that we've got two flagship schemes for the council in that area.
And there are other schemes where you've had a similar process in terms of meeting with initial scepticism and then, I guess, for want of a better phrase, winning the community round. How do you go about doing that, and do you think it leads to better outcomes?
Yeah, it is very... It's we've learnt, well, I learnt at a very early stage when I was building my own house, that if you get the local community and you get, if you tell people, if you explain to people why you're doing things, and then they begin to understand, and if you show a genuine commitment to working with them, that you're not just saying this is it, isn't it nice. You're saying, well, these are opportunities, these are possibilities, these are things that we can actually offer back to the community, and these are positives, and they will work with you. And it's consultation, local consultation is very important, something that we've done for, well, since the practice has sort of started. But there is consultation and genuine consultation. And I think you have to keep it as genuine, that you do talk to people, you do make changes where they can be made, you explain how schemes have evolved, and generally people are very acceptive, two things. Once you explain exactly how it is going to affect them and what the benefits are. And to embrace changes and with the scheme yourself, and to not be arrogant. Architects are always accused of being arrogant, and I don't generally, some architects are, and they go in and say, this is the scheme, and how fortunate you are having us designing a building sort of with you. You can produce good design, but also design that embraces the local community.